Nikki Strong, this is VOA 1, The Hits. I could have my...
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, Brian Lin has a report on the completion of Boeing's last 747 airplane. Later, Dan Novak presents this week's education report. We close the show with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, here is Brian Lin.
Boeing has manufactured its last 747 jet airplane. The move ends the long production history of one of the company's most popular aircraft. The aerospace company built the last 747 for American-based airline Atlas Air. The plane was delivered to the company on Tuesday. The final 747 was the 1,574th one manufactured by Boeing at its production center in the state of Washington. Thousands of employees were expected to take part in a ceremony for the airplane. Boeing completed the first 747 in 1969. The aircraft has served as a supply plane, an airliner with the ability to carry nearly 500 passengers, and a transport plane for space shuttles. The 747 also serves as Air Force One, the official aircraft for the President of the United States. The plane revolutionized travel by connecting international cities that had never been directly linked before. Its ability to carry many passengers meant more people could travel by air. But over the past 15 years, Boeing and its European competitors have launched their own versions of large planes that are more profitable and use less fuel. The newer aircraft also have just two engines instead of the 747's four. "If you love this business, you've been dreading this moment," said longtime airline expert Richard Abulafia. He added that the end of 747 production clearly demonstrates that nobody wants a four-engine airliner anymore. However, Abulafia said it should not be forgotten that for many years the 747 had a major influence on the development of the airline industry. Boeing approved production for the 747 after losing a contract for a huge military transport plane, the C-5A. The idea was to put new powerful engines designed for transport aircraft into planes designed to carry passengers. It took Boeing workers less than 16 months to complete the first 747. The major effort ended up earning the manufacturing team a nickname called the Incredibles. The plane's production required a huge factory in Everett, Washington. It is still the world's biggest building by volume. The body of the aircraft, known as the fuselage, measured about 69 meters long. The tail was as tall as a six-story building. The design included a second level that extended upward over the first third of the plane. Some airline companies turned the second level into a first-class sitting area. The large new plane model became known as the Queen of the Skies. It was the first big carrier, the first wide body. So it set a new standard for airlines to figure out what to do with it and how to fill it, said Guillaume Sion. He is a history professor and airline expert at Pennsylvania's Albright College. Delta was the last U.S. airline to use the 747 for passenger flights, which ended in 2017. Some international carriers continue to use the plane to transport passengers, including Germany's Lufthansa. Atlas Air ordered four 747-8 models early last year, and the final one left Boeing's factory on Tuesday. Boeing's relationship with the Federal Aviation Administration has been strained since deadly crashes of its best-selling plane, the 737 MAX, happened in 2018 and 2019. The FAA took nearly 2 years, far longer than Boeing expected, to approve design changes and permit that plane back into the air. I'm Brian Lynn.
Educators say children's behavior reached crisis levels after the pandemic shutdowns. Now, many schools are facing pressure from critics to rethink the ways they discipline students. In recent years, some schools have adopted policies intended to reduce suspensions and expulsions. Some experts say suspensions and expulsions hurt students' ability to learn, and largely affect minority students. But more students have been misbehaving. Some school systems have faced questions from teachers, parents, and lawmakers about whether a softer approach can effectively deal with problems that disrupt classrooms. The latest example came recently in Newport News, Virginia, when a 6-year-old shot his teacher. Teachers there complained at a school board meeting that the school system had become too easy on students. Students who physically attacked school workers were often permitted to stay in the classroom, they said. The local school board said it would take the necessary steps to restore public confidence in the school system. Misbehavior has been on the rise since students returned to classrooms following COVID-19 lockdowns. The National Center for Education Statistics questioned school leaders on the issue last summer. It found that 56% of school leaders said the pandemic led to increased classroom disruptions from student misbehavior. And 48% said it led to more acts of disrespect toward teachers and staff. Rachel Pereira studies education at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. She said new criticism of approaches to discipline could slow changes in policy. There's a lot of pressure on schools right now, she said. I worry that that will translate to schools falling back on old practices that are not effective in terms of supporting students in the way they need. Policy changes are already happening. In Gwinnett County, Georgia, the school board approved the use of a restorative practices program in August. The program was meant to center on conflict resolution, repairing harm, and rebuilding relationships in the classroom. But the district paused the program in December, with plans to restart it in the 2023-2024 school year. It did so after concerns were raised over incidents in school, including a video of a student attacking a teacher at a high school. As of 2020, 21 states and the District of Columbia had passed legislation supporting the use of restorative practices in schools. That information comes from the Georgetown Law Center on Poverty and Inequality. Carrying out the practice correctly takes time, resources, and community support, said Rebecca Epstein. She is the center's executive director. Change is hard, Epstein said. It can't be up to individual teachers alone to shift the culture. It really takes a whole school cultural shift. Using restorative justice does not mean a school cannot remove a disruptive student from the classroom, said Thalia Gonzalez. She is a professor at the University of California College of the Law, San Francisco. But unlike other forms of discipline, restorative practices aim to understand the causes of a student's behavior. The approach is less centered on punishment. Traditional discipline has widened inequities. Black children are often suspended or expelled at rates far higher than white children. Research has found that these differences in discipline can have lifelong effects for children, including worsened educational results and higher rates of imprisonment. The Virginia city of Newport News has its own history with restorative justice. At a school board meeting in 2017, district officials discussed efforts to reduce school suspensions while using restorative practices. At the same time, Tracy Pope was the school system's restorative practices specialist. She said at the meeting that such practices did not do away with anything already in place. She described the practices as another way to look at how we do discipline. Even before the shooting of a first grade teacher, many educators were unhappy with the way the school system dealt with student discipline. In a spring 2022 opinion study of teachers and other employees, only 60% said school leaders were addressing poor behavior among students. I'm Dan Novak.
We just heard Dan Novak present this week's Education Report. Now Dan joins me to talk more about this week's story. Hi Dan, welcome back.
Thanks Ashley.
There is a word mentioned a few times in the story that I wanted to discuss more. Restorative. Restore means to bring back to a better or original condition. And I know restorative means something that can improve health or well-being. But what are restorative measures when it comes to student discipline?
Restorative discipline is related to restorative justice, which refers to discipline within the justice system. A restorative approach to school discipline is less centered on punishing students for misbehaving. So, say a student gets in a fight, the traditional way to discipline a student would be to put them in detention, or even suspend or expel them. But critics of that model say those kinds of punishments can leave students worse off. Students who are suspended are more likely to drop out of school or have poor attendance. But a restorative approach to a school fight could be a mediation session to work out the disagreement between the students that were fighting, or maybe a student that got in trouble could clean the hallways as punishment rather than a suspension. The whole idea is to create a sense of community to prevent conflict and build relationships.
Got it. Thanks so much, Dan, for that explanation and for taking the time to join me today.
You're welcome.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The cattle industry started in Texas during the 1870s. With its growth came a new kind of worker, the man who watched and took care of the cattle. These men, who watched the cows and rode with them as they moved across the wild lands, were often young. Just boys, and so they were called cowboys. Kay Gallant tells what life was like for the early American cowboy.
People all over the world have seen all sorts of films about the cowboy. And he is often shown in television shows. But the real life of the cowboy is not often shown. His work has been hard, and his life lonely and full of danger. The cowboy has told his own story in many songs and ballads. Hundreds of these have come from cowboys whose names are not known. They just sang these songs as they rode on the saddles of their horses across the cattle lands, or as they sat at their campfires at night. They sang about the things that were close to them, horses and cows and danger and death. Often they sang about the long ride to the cattle markets, where the cows were sold for beef, as in this song called Get Along Little Dogie. Dogie is another name for a young cow, especially one which wanders away from the herd. The song tells how the young cowboy keeps driving the dogies forward. He feels sorry for them, because they will soon be sold for meat. But that's their hard luck, not his. And he keeps pushing them on while he sings.
Well, as I was a-walking one morning for pleasure, well, I spied a young cowboy riding along. Well, his hat was shoved back and his spurs was a-jingling, and as he was riding, he was singing this song. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. It's
early in the springtime we round up those dogies. We cut them out, brand them, and bob off the tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, and then throw the dogies out on the north trail. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home. Well, your mother was raised way down in Texas, where the Jimson weed and those choyas grow. We'll fill you up on those prickly pear briars until you are ready for Idaho. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little dogies. Know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home.
One of the most famous of cowboy ballads is this one, called The Chisholm Trail.
Put in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best darn cowboy ever was born, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I started up the trail October 23rd, started up the trail with the two you heard, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi. Up every morning, before daylight, and before I sleep, the moon shines bright, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yay, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. With a $10 horse and a $40 saddle, I'm going down to Texas for to punch them cattle, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yo, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. Well, old Ben Bolt was a fine old boss, and he went to see his gal on a sore-back horse, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yay, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. There's a stray in the herd, and the boss said, kill it, so I shot him in the rump with the handle of a skillet, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yay, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. And I went to the boss to draw my roll, and he had me figured out $9 in the hole, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yay, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. Roping and a-tying and a-branding all day, I'm a-working mighty hard for a mighty little pay, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yo, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. Well, I went to the boss and we had a little chat, and I hit him in the face with my old slouch hat, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yay, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. With my foot in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best dang cowboy ever was born, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yay, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. Well, I'm gonna get married just as quick as I can, and I won't punch cattle for an old darn man, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yay, singing ki-yi, yippee-yippee-yay.
Day and night, the horse was at the cowboy's side. A cowboy was as proud of his horse as he was of his skill in riding him. There is this feeling in the song, I Ride an Old Paint. A paint, or pinto, is a horse of three or more different colors.
I ride an old paint. Lead an old Dan, gone to Montana to throw the Julian. Feed him in the coolies and water in the draw. Tails are all matted and their backs are all raw. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and raring to go. Old Bill Jones had two daughters and a song. One went to college and the other went wrong. His wife got killed in a free-for-all fight. Still he keeps singing from morning till night. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and raring to go. I've worked in your town, worked on your farm, and all I got to show is the muscle in my arm. Blisters on my feet and the callus on my hand. Going to Montana to throw the Julian. Ride around, little
Chattanoogas right around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and raring to go. When I die, take my saddle from the wall, put it on my pony, lead him out of his stall, tie my bones to his back, turn our faces to the west, and we'll ride the prairie that we love the best. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy and raring to go. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy or raring to go.
The cattle herds were driven a very long way to the cattle markets and had to be kept and watched on the open trail for many weeks. And the trail took the cowboys over rough country in all kinds of weather. The wild prairie lands were not friendly to men or animals. It was a lonely land, and the howling of wolves and winds at night made it more so. Across this strange land, no man in the early days of the West knew just where death was waiting for him. A listener hears the mournful feeling cowboys had for the prairie in this song called The Dying Cowboy. He does not want to be buried out in these wild lands, in the lone prairie, as the song says. Still, the dying cowboy does not get his wish. There is no choice. He can be buried only in the lone prairie, in a narrow grave, 6 by 3, 6 feet deep and 3 feet wide.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pouted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed at the close of day. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Bury me not on the lone prairie. It matters not, I've often told, where the body lies when the heart grows cold. Yet grant, oh grant, this wish to me. Bury me not on the lone prairie. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Oh, bury me not. And o'er his brow, death's shadows fast were gathering now. He thought of his friends and his home but nigh, as the cowboys gathered to see him die. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the parted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.